This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه فإذا خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا يتلى عليهم قالوا آمنا به إنه الحق من ربنا إنا كنا من قبله مسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. So previously we spoke about the arrogance, the denial and the disbelief of the polytheists of Mecca, who respectively denied the Quran and the Torah, referring to Sayyidina Musa and Harun as Sihrani Tadahara, two magicians, wal'iyadu billah, Tadahara a ta'awana, who mutually aided each other. Waqalu, and they said, inna bikullin kafirun, we deny the message of both. Well, Allah contrasts their disbelief with the submission of the people of the book. Alladhina ataynahumul kitaba min qabli. Allah acknowledges them, Allah profiles them, Allah extols their praises. Those people who were given the book, the Torah and the Injil, and were honest and genuine and sincere and candid, they embrace both the divine scriptures. They embrace both the divine scriptures. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 26, Surah Shu'ara, أَوَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ آيَةً أَنْ يَعْلَمَهُ عُلَمَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Is it not a proof for these people that the scholars, the clerics, the clergy from amongst the Bani Israel, they embrace the truth? Is this not a sufficient testimony to the veracity of the message of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The likes of Zayd bin Su'na radiallahu anhu, who we spoke about yesterday, formerly a rabbi, reverted to Islam and died as a companion in the Tabuk, in the campaign and the expedition of Tabuk. So in verse 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ, and when the verses of the Quran are recited to them, what is their response? Allah speaks about Najashi and his courtiers and his ministers. تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. You would see their responses, that tears trickle down their cheeks. مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ, because they have recognized the truth. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in verse 53 of chapter 28. وَإِذَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ, and when the Quran is recited to them, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ, they say, we have embraced it. إِنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّنَا. This is divine, this is pure, this is absolute, this is unadulterated. وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ. The Quran was sent with truth and it arrived with truth. It was sent with truth and it arrived with truth. إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مُسْلِمِينَ. Nay, we have submitted to the message of the Quran before its revelation. Why? Because their divine scripture spoke about the Quran and spoke about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So principally, we had embraced the truth prior to the revelation of the Quran. And of course, when the Quran came down, there was tajaddud, there was renewal of that submission of theirs. But in principle, they had accepted it. And I'm reminded of a verse in chapter 27, on the colony of ants, verse 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he had asked the people around him, his ministers, etc., who from amongst you has the clout and the muscle to relocate the throne of the queen of Saba before she arrives. And a mighty jinnat, which Jalalain says his name was Asif, he actually lifted the throne and relocated the throne and brought it to Sulaiman alayhi salam. He then ordered those around him, he said, Nakkiru, ghayiru laha arshaha. Let's adjust it, let's tweak it. I want to, test her IQ and see how smart, wise and intelligent she is. And when finally she arrived, then she was asked, Ahakada arshuk? Ahakada arshuk, is your throne similar to this? Now, it had the resemblance of her throne, but there were some adjustments done to it. And she was smart, she was wise. She said, كَأَنَّهُ هُ. For all I care, this is my throne. وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. Verse 42, chapter 27. وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ. And the truth be told, we had realized prior to my coming year that Sulaiman was a prophet and I had submitted. The academics say the word submission here is taken in its literal translation because aslama yuslimu islam means to submit. And the term or the phrase or the title, the istilahi meaning, where this ummah has been referred to as muslimin, huwa sammakumul muslimin, is a privilege conferred upon the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Otherwise, anyone who had submitted to the will of Allah in all the nations gone by, you know what, literally he or she would be a Muslim, because a Muslim means one who submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the immense reward for these people. The people of the book who embraced, who had accepted the truth in advance. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنَ. These are such people that their reward will be given to them double. بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Because they endured and persevered. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. And they resist evil in a good manner. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which we have given them. So in the verses above, Allah speaks of their aqidah and their belief. They accept all the divine scriptures. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِي. We do not differentiate and distinguish between the prophets. They are all the galaxy of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And we accept all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And each prophet came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says these people who brought iman on their prophet, like for example, somebody following the teachings of Musa alayhi salam and the Torah, and then he's seen the era and the nabuwat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for him is dual reward. For him is dual reward. Why is it dual reward? This is mentioned in Futuhat by the scholars. The hadith appears in Bukhari for three people. One is a person from the people of the book, likewise who brought iman on his Nabi, and then he lived to see the nabuwat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So essentially, he was following the teachings of Musa alayhi salam and following the Torah. And in the Torah and in the teachings of Musa alayhi salam was the prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he brought iman on Musa when he brought iman on the Torah. But coupled with that, part of the Torah was for him to bring iman on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the Torah had prophesied the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then when the Quran was revealed, he then renewed his iman on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but now objectively he accepted. So one was tab'an, one was isalatan. Bringing iman on his Nabi was actual, and part of that was embracing the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when he brought iman on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that was his actual iman. And part of bringing iman on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to bring iman on Musa alaihi salam. So essentially, there were two times in which they brought iman on their respective prophets and bringing iman on the Prophet on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Likewise, a person who is a slave and is obedient to his master and obedient to Allah, or a person who has a concubine or a slave girl with whom, according to the laws of Sharia, intimacy was permissible, and then he liberates her, he frees her, and then he teaches her, educates her, empowers her, and then he performs nikah with her. For these people is a dual reward, is a dual reward. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنَ. And of course, in the verse of Surah Al-Ahzab as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing the consorts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says that وَمَنْ يَقْنُتْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنَ. That all the wives, all the partners, all the spouses, all the consorts of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever from amongst you will do an act of virtue, then for you is a dual reward. A dual reward. Why? By obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and by serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will get the reward of kindness, of a wife to the husband, and likewise obedience of a follower to the Prophet. So when the spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did an act of kindness and goodness and obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it had two dimensions. It had a dual angle. It was the kindness of a wife to her husband, and it was the kindness of a follower to the Prophet. أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنَ They will be given dual reward. بِمَا صَبَرُوا They persevered. So when you accepted the truth the first time from Musa alayhi salam, at that time you were accepting the Torah as the book to be followed, to be implemented. But in the scope of the Torah, of course, you embraced the teachings of the Quran. And then when the Quran was revealed, now you accepted the Quran as the absolute. And in the scope of the Quran, you embraced the Torah. And of course, the Quran has lavishly praised the Torah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ In fact, I perhaps just need to mention this, that the chronological order in terms of merit and significance is that the Quran is first, the second is the Torah, the third is the Injil, and the fourth is the Zabur. Everybody knows that the Quran is the first, but often people don't know that after the Quran, next in virtue and merit is the Torah, then the Injil, and of course, then the Zabur that follows thereafter. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their akhlaq. First Allah spoke about their aqeedah. Now Allah speaks about their akhlaq. What is the nature of these people? وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ And they resist evil in a good manner. This has been explored in two ways. Number one, when someone is nasty to them, someone is uncouth to them, then they do not stoop so low and they do not reciprocate on that same level. Rather, they respond to cruelty in a kind way. And Muhammad bin Ishaq, rahimahullah, says that a delegation of 20 odd people had come from Abyssinia to Makkah Mukarrama, and when they met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they reverted to deen. And then Abu Jahl and his likes started making nasty comments. What kind of people are this here? You just come to investigate a man and then you just embrace his creed and you embrace his faith. And they started hurling nasty things. But these people, they were very calm, they were very composed, they were very calculated. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ means that when somebody is nasty, you do not, reciprocate in that same way. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ which is the message of the Quran, respond in a good way, respond in a good way. And the second interpretation of this, وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ means that if perchance they committed any wrong, then they would follow it up by a virtue. They would follow it up by a virtue. As we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that أَتْبِعُ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ that if you have committed or perpetrated a wrong, then immediately perform a virtuous action, and the latter would expiate the former. The latter would serve as an atonement for the wrong. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ And I often give this advice to youth. They ask for advice, and of course the common accepted advice, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Allah. So abstain from the wrong. But if perchance you've succumbed to the wrong, then the minimum you can do is that after the wrong, follow it up with a virtue. And in Ruh al-Ma'ani, the words of Yahya bin Mu'adh, rahmatullah alayh, I came across, he said, so amazing. Allah says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ Verily, the performance of righteous deeds will erase and delete the effects of the sin. So he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَرْضَ بِالسَّتْرِ حَتَّى غَفَرْ وَلَمْ يَرْضَ بِالْغُفْرَانِ حَتَّى بَدَّلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Allah is so kind. Allah did not say, if you've committed a wrong and you followed the wrong by a virtue, that I will conceal your wrong. Allah said, no. If you've done a wrong and then you performed a good deed, I will then delete and erase that wrong. Ansallahu hafadatahu dhunuba. Comes in the hadith that Allah will delete that sin from the memory of the angels who captured it. And Allah will erase it from the recordings of your limbs and your organs. حتى يلقى الله عز وجل يوم القيامة, so that he meets Allah on the day of Qiyamah and nobody can give evidence against him. So Allah said, if you do a virtue, Allah will erase that wrong. You done a wrong and after that you perform the virtue, Allah will erase that wrong. And Allah didn't only say he will erase it. وَلَمْ يَرْضَ بِالْغُفْرَانِ حَتَّى بَدَّلْ. In fact, Allah said, if you're genuine and you're honest and you're sincere, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. He will convert your vice into virtue. So we spoke about the aqidah of the people of the book. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their akhlaq. And we learn two things from here. If somebody is nasty to you, don't stoop to the same level. One of my teachers had once given me a very profound piece of advice. And he said, if you get into an argument with a foolish, naive, belligerent person, then don't drop yourself to his standard. Don't drop yourself to his standard. He's got nothing to lose because in society he doesn't have any social standing. But he might provoke you in a way that you might respond in such a nasty way that you could lose your entire izzat and honor. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that what we have given them. Hakim al-Ummah makes such an amazing deduction in two words. So Allah is praising these people of the book that they resist cruelty in a good way. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And they spend from that which we have given them. He says both these portions of the ayah indicate, the former indicates that they are free from hubbajah, and the latter indicates that they are free from hubbamal. La ilaha illallah. So hubbajah means the crave of prominence, fame, prestige, recognition. And hubbamal means the crave of wealth. And like the scholars tell us, the salikin tell us, the last malady to leave the heart of a salik, if he's fortunate enough, is the crave of fame and prominence. The crave of fame and prominence. Because each person is seeking recognition. So Allah says they resist evil in a good manner. That means they don't have hubbajah. They don't have the crave for recognition. Because it is when you have the crave of recognition and somebody tells you something nasty, you feel violated. But you know who I am. Do you know who you're talking to? What an audacity. You are clueless of who I am. So your ego feels injured. Your ego feels violated. And that's the time you want to retort because you want to hold on to that position. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And again, let's reflect. Wherever the Quran exhorts us to spend, Allah says, they spend from my money. They spend from my wealth. Allah says, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِي. Spend from that in which I've given you temporary ownership. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Ultimately, everything comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because your dad passed on, you inherited, you will pass on, your son will inherit, and everyone will die. إِنَّا نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Ultimately, everything comes to Allah. So let's conclude on that note. Two great advisors for us. Either way, if we take the interpretation, if somebody is nasty to you, don't retort in a like manner. Respond in a polite, in a courteous manner. And if you cannot answer in a kind manner, then be silent. Some people came and said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Assalamu alayk, you know, may death be upon you. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Wa alaykum assam wa dham wa la'na. Curse, destruction, misery come to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Aisha, Allah loves politeness and gentleness at all times. And she said, Oh Prophet of Allah, but have you heard what they said? They were hurling curses at you. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, But Oh Aisha, did you not listen to my response? I said, same to you, same to you. Whatever you invoking upon me, same to you. So when somebody, regardless of what people tell us, we are responsible for the manner in which we react. We can be bitter or better. Or we take the other interpretation that if perchance you have ever done a wrong, then immediately follow it up by a good action. So don't go to sleep, my brother. Don't go to sleep if you have committed a wrong until and unless you have atoned for it by the performance of a good deed. And what better way of atoning for your wrong than sadaqah? I encourage this and I conclude on this note here. Give charity in abundance. Give charity in abundance. You have committed a wrong. You have uttered something wrong. You have done a vice. Give charity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Badiru bis sadaqa." Hasten in giving charity. For surely charity extinguishes the anger of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people who are charitable so that we could be from amongst his friends. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.